All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and go back to Ephesians chapter 6. We are moving right along here. We learned last time, not last week, but the week before that, but we learned about the righteousness that was mentioned in verse 14, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And what we learned is this is not our righteousness, but it is imputed righteousness. It is Christ's righteousness. He's the only one who is righteous. All right? All of our righteousnesses, Isaiah said, are as filthy rags. We have nothing to stand in on our own. So the good soldier for Christ, he puts on the breastplate of righteousness, and it's Christ's righteousness that we are to wear. All right, so now tonight, if you will look carefully at the 15th verse, we have the next piece of the Christian armor. Let me read it to you. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, let me read it again. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, this is a very important piece of the armor. And the more that I thought about it, and once I got started here, I realized that the military puts a great deal of emphasis upon a soldier's feet. If your feet aren't right, then you're not right. It's just that simple. If you get a blister because of the shoes you're wearing, and you can't walk without pain, well, you got a problem. All right. So there's many, many ways in which a soldier's feet have to be taken care of. But notice here in verse 15, he says, "And your feet shod." All right, now what does it mean to be shod? Well, we talk about horses being shod. In other words, the farrier puts on horseshoes, all right, nails them to the bottoms of that horse's hooves, and it strengthens him, it emboldens him or her. It enables them to do things with confidence, knowing that they're not going to be hurt all the time. When I was a kid, my sister wanted a pony. She wanted a pony. I don't know why. She never rode the pony. All right, never. We put these slats on the back of the truck and went down into Taze Valley somewhere. I don't even remember where it was. And we purchased this pony, beautiful pony. And it was gentle. It was had a very good nature about it. And this pony, we thought the guy told us it was tame and blah blah blah. And he gave us a bridle to use with the whole nine yards, you know, and so I didn't know anything about horses, and so my dad said, "Go over there and make sure that Cheryl can ride that horse." So I went over, my brother and my sister, we went over to where we were putting the horse up. It was just a little walk from the house, and And so I walked down, and when the horse saw me, it came running because I normally had some sweet oats for it, and I had molasses on the oats, you know. And after a while, that horse gets, he sees you coming, he's all thrilled and happy. Well, she, it was a she. And so I fed her the oats, and then after that, walked her over, and she got a drink of water. And so I thought, okay, well, here we go. So I put that bridle on the horse, and I noticed she kind of, you know, flipped her head a little bit. She wasn't real sure about that. And so anyway, I thought, well, now or never. So I jumped on the back of her, and she reared up, tried to throw me off, but I kind of figured that was coming. So I held on tight, grabbed her by the mane, and held on to it. And so she tried everything she could to get me off of her. And so here's what she did. She took off running downhill. Downhill. And I knew I was in trouble. And she ran right straight toward the barbed wire fence. And she slammed on the brakes and dropped her head. And I went flying right into the barbed wire fence. Well, I went home to get a gun, and my dad wouldn't let me shoot. My dad wouldn't let me shoot it, but I wanted to shoot it, and so it was on. All right, it was on right there. I'm going to break that horse. I'm going to ride that horse, and come to find out what the problem was is there was no strap underneath the bridle that went under her lip. There was no strap. So when I pulled on the bits, you know, it didn't do anything. She could care less. There was no pain involved at all. So she just did what she wanted to do. And so when I saw that, because we went to a store, to a hardware store, and I was looking at bridles and I saw one. I thought, huh, what's this little piece? Well, that little piece was important, I later found out. But anyway, I digress. So here was something that we did. My grandfather said we ought to shoe that horse. And so he got a fellow to come in, and that fellow shoed the pony for us. And I noticed after she was shoed, that she just became so confident. She was not afraid to walk on the pavement. She was not afraid to walk on the gravel. She just became just a different pony. And so the point is that when you take care of even an animal's feet, they're pleased, they're happy, they're satisfied. And we have to take care of ours if we're going to be a good soldier. Every soldier knows that. You are, I've been told that you are reminded of that over and over and over in boot camp. And they stress that just regularly. Well, again, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, let me remind you folks that this is something, this verse 15, this is a piece of the armor, just like in verse 14, loins girt about with truth, just like having on the breastplate of righteousness. Another piece of the armor is to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So it's important to realize that this is just another part of the armor that God has provided so that we can withstand in the evil day. All right, and that's important. In verse 13, we have to stand in the evil day. Verse 11. That we have to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so this is to help us. This is to enable us. We are in a battle against, not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, according to verse 11 and 12. And so this third piece, which has a reference to the Christian warrior's feet, remind us that the entire personality is engaged in this Christian armor that God provides, and that nothing, no part of the Christian is to be neglected. Nothing is more important in the Christian life, folks, than balance. Balance. And so we have the breastplate of righteousness. Well, praise the Lord, your heart's in there, your lungs are in there, your liver's in there, so you need that. We also have the loins girt about with truth, and we need that. We got to protect all parts of our anatomy. And we're going to see in verse 17 that we take the helmet of salvation. So we have from top all the way down to our feet, we have armament that God provides for us so that we can be able to stand in the evil day and stand against the wiles of the devil. And so the truth of the matter is, many of our troubles as believers are due to a lack of balance in our lives. And you can be assured that our great enemy is 100% aware of that fact. All right? So the armament is to be worn at all times. We are to constantly be ready and willing and able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, it's interesting also to notice that the different parts of our makeup have their importance as we fight against the enemy. All right? A lot of folks might not think that there would be much importance in having your feet shod properly. But Paul tells us here, and of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we are to protect our feet, and that obvious as we pause to consider the vital role that our feet play in life. You see, however powerful your chest armor may be, and however strong you might have your loins girded, and however strong you may have the helmet of salvation, and however strong the shield of faith that you hold in your hand, all that's good. But if you have all that and you forget to have your feet shod, the devil knows that you're unshod. All right? So I want you to listen carefully as we figure out what it means to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, if you get wounded on your foot, on your feet, if you get wounded on your feet as and you begin to slip and to fall in the battle, then you become easy prey for the enemy. Now, one thing that I have pointed out a couple of times, and I hope you noticed this, all the armor is for the front. All right? Everything is for the front. You say, well, what's that mean? That means that we are to be moving forward all the time. All right? And so if you don't have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and something happens and you get knocked down, you've exposed then the part of you that is not armored, and that's your back. All right, so you are a prime victim for the assault of the devil. You'll be easy prey for the devil. So the feet, while having their own importance, contribute to the welfare of the whole body. And so that's what we need to understand as we consider feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, first thing I want you to notice tonight, let's consider the importance of the soldier's feet. Let's just think about their importance for just a moment. So look back at verse 14 for just a moment. And what is the first word in this 14th verse? Stand. That's it. Folks, that's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to, as believers, as Christians, we are supposed to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, question, which part of your body do you stand with? Pretty simple, huh? But you see the importance now, don't you? Yeah, you stand with your feet. I know that there is such a thing as a handstand, but I wouldn't recommend that if you're going to fight against an enemy as subtle as the devil. All right? When I was a kid, I couldn't do it now, but when I was a kid, I could walk all over the house on my hands. Oh, yeah. Man, I'd just flop up and take off walking. And I remember this one evening, I was picking on my brother, I'm sure. But she was in the kitchen, and she said, "You get in here." And I said, "I'm coming." Well, I didn't go. And she said, "I told you to get in here." And so I got up, and I went up on my hands, and I walked in on my hands and said, "What do you want?" My head's pointing down, my feet pointing up. Well, she lost it. I mean, she lost it, so I didn't get in trouble. She forgot whatever it was. But anyway, you can't do a handstand in the conflict. That's the point, all right? The very thought of doing that today causes my spine to shiver. No way. I can't imagine even trying doing that today. But you've heard the expression, go stand on your head. Well, that's not going to help you either. But we all know we cannot stand on our heads. We have to think with our heads. We have to observe with our heads. We have to be watching with our heads. So you don't want to be standing on your head. But Paul says, and it's mentioned many times in this passage of Scripture. It's mentioned in verse 10 through verse 18. It is mentioned in verse 11, stand. It's mentioned in verse 13, a second, stand. It's mentioned in verse 14. So three times, stand. And that is what this armor enables us to do. It enables us to stand so that the enemy, the devil, can't hit us in a vulnerable spot and knock us down and win the fight. All right? So Paul says that we are to stand. And then in verse 14, that is the admonition that we are to stand having our loins girt about with truth. And then we are to stand having on the breastplate of righteousness. And now in verse 15, the same command follows. Stand, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So folks, in a sense, everything depends on the soundness of our feet. It's amazing to me how somebody many, many years ago, even back before the Lord was born, that these folks who developed and created all this Greek mythology stuff, and there was a fella by the name of Homer, and he wrote a book that is called the Iliad, and then followed that up with a book that was called the Odyssey. And so here's Homer, and he's writing a book, and his main character in much of the book is a fellow by the name of Achilles. Does that ring a bell to anybody? All right, so everybody has what is called today, because based off this story, an Achilles heel, all right? An Achilles heel. So what was the story about? Well, in Homer's Iliad, Achilles was the bravest, and he was the most handsome, and he was the most daring, and he was the greatest warrior in the army of Agamemnon. Say that three times fast. In the army of Agamemnon in the Trojan War. Homer's story centers on how Achilles killed a fella by the name of Hector. Hector. And then his brother, in an act of revenge, came after Achilles for killing his brother. And when he spotted him, he shot an arrow at Achilles, and the arrow hit Achilles in the heel. When it hit him in the heel, that was the only place he had on him that was not protected. You think Homer was kind of led to tell a little story here that might eventually one day have biblical purpose behind it? Well, I know that when I went into the 12th grade, I had to take, advanced classes, what do you call those things? Huh? AP classes? Yeah, that's what it was. And I had to take AP English. And we spent a whole semester studying Homer. Just shoot me, you know? Yeah. Oh, my goodness, that was rough. And but Mr. Kaufman thought Homer was just the greatest thing in the world. And so he went on talking about how that Achilles got shot in the heel, and that ended up being his demise because he did not have his feet protected. All right? And so Paul now uses this in his analogy. You got to have your feet shod, taken care of, provided for, because the devil will notice you're not protected in your feet, and he'll come after you any way that he can to get you. Now, in another passage, Paul has dealt with this matter again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, so hold your place here and go back just a little bit to towards the front of your Bible, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for just a moment and see what Paul says here about this. He, of course, is speaking here about the church, all right? And he says in verse 12, he said, for as the body is one. All right, we understand that, don't we? The body is one. One body. He said, and hath many members. Now, what's that mean? Well, you are one body, but you have many members. All right, you have two ears. You have a nose. You have two eyeballs. You have a mouth. All right, you have two arms. You have 10 fingers. You have two legs. You have 10 toes. All right, and thank the Lord you do. Yeah. So you have one body, but many members to your one body. All right, read on. And he said, many members of that one body. Let me start at where I left off here. I read that wrong. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. All right? For by the Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course not. Of course not. And then he said in verse 16, he said, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, boy, that'd be something, wouldn't it? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If you were just one great big eyeball, well, it wouldn't be pretty. That's exactly right. But, I mean, you know, if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And so look at verse 21. He said, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So it's just a common analogy that Paul gives about the church, all right? And that's why in the church there are those who have been gifted by the Holy Spirit to do certain things in the church, all right? God has called me to be the pastor, all right? And God has gifted Pastor Brian with music. He has gifted Brother Ray with the ability to talk to a fence post and share the gospel with it and get it under conviction. All right? You see what I'm saying? We don't all have the same gifts. That's where he's headed down to, that we don't all have the same gifts. But we come together as one body. All right, so this is not a strange thing that Paul is talking about here, and I have taught you through the years that the church in Corinth had divided into a bunch of groups. They had divided into all kinds of various sects. All right, S-E-C-T-S. Hillbillies have trouble with those words. So I'll spell it for you. But you'll remember that they bragged to one another, the members of the church, they bragged to one another, and some of them said, well, I am of Paul, you know. Well, whoop-de-doo. And then somebody else stood up and said, oh, well, I am of Apollos. And then somebody else stood up and said, well, I am of the Apostle Peter. Well, I am this, and I am from, I support this. Well, Paul's way of dealing with all that was by an analogy of the body. And he tells them, you are the body of Christ, and let me remind you that you cannot divide the body of Christ. And he went on to explain that the eye, verse 21, cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. After all, I'm more important than you are. An eye is much more important than a finger or a hand. That would be the argument. But Paul says that type of thinking is just ridiculous. God made us with all our different parts and to our bodies. One part is just as needed as another part. All right? So it's strange how every part of the body is essential to the true functioning of the whole. But it is. It is. And that's the way God has made us. All right? So because of the nature of the body, when there is anything wrong with, let's say, your finger, all right? Let's say you were driving a nail and you hit the wrong nail. All right? You hit the wrong nail. And yeah, it hurts. But then you get that blood blister thing underneath your nail and you feel like you could just go get a hacksaw and hack it off, you know. But you can't do that. So you say, I'll be all right. No, you won't. You're going to feel that for days. And probably it's going to get infected on you and you're going to be in trouble. All right, so if one part of the body is ailing, is hurting, then it impacts everything else. You know, I can remember my mother had migraines. She had severe migraines, and there'd be days when we would come in from school and all the drapes were pulled and, you know, lights were out and drapes were pulled and no TV on, nothing. And mom laying there on the couch. And I'd say, what's the matter? Migraine. Well, you say, well, it's just your head. Yeah. Yeah. But it affects everything. You're exactly right. You know, you get a sinus infection. Boy, you don't feel like doing anything, do you? So you say, well, it's just a little sinus infection. Yeah, but it's got my whole head stopped up. And I'm coughing my head off. You know, I'm miserable. I don't feel like doing anything. Well, that's how it works with the body. And so we are reminded in this that our feet are absolutely essential to the body's welfare because of the unity of the body. So the Christian soldier, the warrior, is one personality, and every part of him or her counts. So we must not treat any part with disrespect or disdain or even with any kind of neglect, because the armor covers us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And we've got to be protected as we're standing against the wiles of the devil. All right, does that make sense to you? All right, so what must be done? Number two, what must be done for the feet? Well, Paul says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, our feet are so important as we walk along the Christian walk, the Christian journey. We walk on roads of pavement. We walk on roads of dust. We walk on the path of mud. We walk in the mire that just comes with life. Boy, that's true, isn't it? Just the mire that comes with life. So what are we commanded to do with our feet? Well, Paul says, and look carefully now at verse 15, Paul says, stand, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So how do we understand what Paul is saying with this admonition? All right, well, let's start with the analogy that the apostle uses. Paul was no doubt thinking, when he wrote all of these, was no doubt thinking about the way a Roman soldier was armored before he was sent to fight against any of the enemies of Rome. The provision made for the Roman soldier's feet was a certain type of sandal. You can look it up. You can check it. It was a certain type of sandal. Now, it was not a sandal that did not have support. It was a sandal that was strong. It was firm. It was enduring, and it had straps on either side, and you didn't just tie them in a knot right there. No, you wound them up your leg, and then you tied them off, and that kept the sandal on. Now, it was not a boot; it was a sandal, which consisted essentially of a sole with straps that wrapped around the soldier's calf. And it held firmly on the foot because of this wrapping and tying off just below the knee. In those days, all right, in those days, an army depended greatly on its ability to move quickly. All right, back in pre-Bible times, there was no such thing as an air force. All right, you couldn't say, "Well, we're gonna bomb tonight. We'll show them." No, you couldn't do that. There were no such thing as a tank brigade. There was you couldn't pull the tanks up overlooking a city and just start firing away, you know, and have those things. So what was needed was the ability to move, to strike quickly. And so think of the spiritual application. What's the spiritual application to this analogy? Well, look at the term, look at your Bible, and see the little word in verse 15, preparation. Do you see that? The word preparation. I think that little word is the key. And I say that because when I started digging into some of the commentaries and people that I have confidence in and trust, They started with this word, preparation, and said that it conveys the idea of firmness. And these commentators, many of them, most of them, said that a good soldier needed the firm footing, all right, firmness, the firm footing of the gospel of peace. Now, look at me. I don't think that's what Paul was saying here. I don't think that's what Paul was saying here. I think that Paul is telling us having your feet shod with the preparedness. The preparedness or a readiness. And it was John Wycliffe many, many, many moons ago who started, who was translating the received text into English, and one of his text ended up being one of the precursors to the King James Bible. And Wycliffe was the first one to translate this word preparation as having a readiness or having or being prepared. Another commentator said he thinks that the word insinuates equipment. And that the word equipment gets at the heart of what Paul is saying here with the word preparedness. Having your feet shod with the equipment, with the readiness of the gospel of peace. So in Titus 3:1, Paul told Titus that he was to be ready to every good work. So be ready, be prepared, be equipped. You see, folks, the truth is, when you look at the church today, and I'm talking not just this church, but the church across the world, when you look at the church and churches around the world today, one of the things you notice is that there are multitudes whose feet are not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They're just not ready for the battle. They have compromised. I'm talking about individual Christians. I'm talking about pastors. I'm talking about missionaries. I'm talking about mission boards. I'm talking about Bible colleges. And they've compromised. They're not prepared to stand for the Lord. They have not equipped themselves with the preparation, with the gospel. There's no stand for the gospel. There's just no stand. And so when the call comes to stand, well, here they come running out in their bare feet, and they have not put on the sandal. Now, here's the thing about those sandals. Those sandals were especially made for the soldier in that they had a hobnail on the bottoms. Not one, many. You know what that is. That's a grip. That's a bite. They sewed a nail, an iron nail, into the shoe. You didn't feel it on the top side, but it gave you security on the bottom side. And so you weren't slipping. You weren't falling. You weren't messing up. You were sturdy. You were steady. You were ready. And so the call comes, hey, we need somebody to stand. And everybody comes running out today, and they got their little NIV breeches on, and they got their little TEV shoes on. Yeah. You know what NIV stands for? The not inspired version. Yeah. And then they wonder why they don't get anything done. Well, You got to stand, but you got to stand correctly. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, well, it's time to go. I'm writing the heart of it. But we'll pick it up where we left off. There's more. There's so much. There's always more. You know? You with me on this? You understand what I'm saying? Most of the commentators will tell you that verse 15 is about the soldier being a soul winner. That's not the context. Now, there are many other passages that tell the soldier to be a soul winner. He's talking here about the armor. He's talking here about, listen to me, how to stand. And you put on the sandal that has the grip, and you stand. You just stand. That's all there is to it. Every Sunday morning, I've never mentioned this before, but every Sunday morning, starting at about 6:30 in the morning, I start getting text messages from preachers all over America. And they'll say, "I'm praying for you today, preacher." And most of them say this: "Thank you for your testimony of standing for the Lord." They'll say, "Thank you for not compromising." Amen. And that's the context here, folks. Stand. So you got your breastplate on, you got your loins covered, you've got the helmet, you've got the shield. I mean, but you better have your feet taken care of too. You better have it ready. All right, I'll finish this next time. All right, I won't be here next Wednesday. I'm going down to preach at the Sword next Wednesday. So I won't be here Wednesday night, but Brother Howe will be preaching Wednesday night. But we'll get to it when I get back, all right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your eternal word. Bless this to our hearts. Help us to understand the importance of having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, just help us to take a stand for truth, to take a stand for the Bible, take a stand for the virgin birth, take a stand for the resurrection, take a stand for salvation by grace through faith, and not to take our shoes, our sandals off and slip and fall in the mud or slip in on the ice. But Father, help us to stand, and having done all, to stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.